99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear, happened. This is the standing order to Sergeant Meredith, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Meredith does. Now, to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
What is your location, 99?
99, 3rd and K King.
Something on the fire?
Yeah, file the beat man on lower K wants us to 940 him. The radio sergeant gave me the word just before he left the yard. There he is now.
Yeah, file, I understand that you have something here for us.
Well, this man came to me and told me that he had been rolled and robbed of about $400 about a week and a half ago on the other side of the river, and he woke up out of Yuba City, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, I'm an ex-con. I got my discharge in my pocket. I showed it to you, Bob.
That's right. You're an ex-con on what?
Yeah. 476 APC and five priors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a heavy loser. I've always been legit. I mean, insofar, you understand my language, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I never snitched. Nowhere. This time I got hurt, by the wrong guy.
Do you know this guy?
Yeah, I know the guy. I know the guy that engineered the whole thing.
No, you tell Officer File about this fella?
Yeah, I told him about it. Bob, did I tell you about it?
That's right. I know who the fella is. Well, what are you going to do now?
I think we'll take him over to the detective office and let them talk to him and check out the Yolo County report on it.
Okay, you want us to take you over?
Would you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Have you any idea if this man is around here right now?
I know where the man works and I know where he lives.
That person who did then rob me, rolled me, beat me, and so forth is known to me. That person is, and I do know that person well, is an ex-convict. A person, one of those people on parole who shouldn't be on parole. I speak that way because I speak from my own heart, because I'm an ex-convict myself. But I never hurt anybody.
Were you going to face him?
I'll face him. I'll face him in front of anybody and everybody. And I'll charge him with that which I know. And with a little bit of help and a little bit of sweating like I know the police department can do, with all due respect to them, I know that they'll get it out of him. I've tried to go legitimate. I finished a parole, a satisfactory parole.
Listen.
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'm making a snitch out of myself, yeah. But I'm one of those guys that went legitimate. One of those guys that's married with two kids. One of those guys right now has got a little girl in the hospital, 13 years old, in San Francisco with polio. Yeah, I'm working. I'm making fairly good money, sure. That doesn't compensate for the fact that if I don't snitch on this guy here, if I don't get this guy taken care of, he's going to hurt somebody else even worse than he hurt me and hurt my family.
Well, now, how did he know that you had this money?
Because I broke the bill in front of him, and at the time he was tending bar.
Well, he knew all about your finances then beforehand.
Yeah, he sure did. He knew who I worked for. He knew the amount of money I made.
Well, we'll go up to Dick's office then and check this out for you.
Surely, and I sure will appreciate all the help you can give me.
Now, this is Detective Don Fox and Bill Oakes.
Can you kind of fill us in on this problem yours now? Just tell us exactly what happened.
Well, just a week ago last Sunday night,
for just a lack of something to do. Probably a lack of excitement. I began to wander around the lower or west end of Sacramento and wandering up 2nd Street off of I. Someone called and hollered, and being inquisitive, I turned around and stuck my head in the door of this bar. And I, there at that time, met the person who did holler, called my name.
Did you know this fellow?
I knew this fellow in Folsom, yes, sir.
How many were in on that deal?
Two of them.
He engineered the deal, you figure?
He engineered the deal.
Well, was there two other fellows besides him?
Yes, sir, there was.
Well, let's go into the actual crime itself now. I mean, how it happened. Where, did they take you out of the place? Did they invite you to go someplace with them?
Yeah, this guy, Benimic.
We'll make him the number one suspect.
He is the number one boy.
All right. And then we'll use the number two as a John Doe, right?
All right.
All right.
So I'm sitting between number one and number two here. Number one suggested he go over to Yolo and pick up his wife. And he asked me if I wanted to go along. Well, stupidly and innocently, figuring everybody is good people, which I should know better, why, I said, sure, I'd go along. And this number two guy said, well, he says, I might as well go along. We'll all go and get the wife and bring her back. So we got in the car and went across the river. And after we wandered around out there in that Yolo County over there, I began to wonder, where is this guy going to come to meet his wife? And he stopped the car, and the guy sitting on the right of me said he wanted to get out of the car, and that's when I got clobbered.
You haven't seen any one of these three fellows since that time?
Oh, yeah. I saw one of them tonight.
What would you do if you found him in a position where you could do something to him?
Yeah, now I got to hesitate and ask you. Wait a minute, I'm not going to ask you nothing. Look, I guess myself, I'm just off of parole. I finished a satisfactory parole. I'd like to be a citizen. I'd like to be a guy that'd go right. If I wasn't a guy that wouldn't go right, that isn't trying to go right, I wouldn't come to the coppers, would I?
What did you go to the penitentiary for?
Last time I went there for checks.
For checks?
Yeah.
How about the first time?
Well, I've been up for manslaughter.
How many times have you been in the penitentiary?
Five times.
Five times?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
44.
44?
Yeah.
How much of your life have you spent in a penitentiary, would you say?
About 22 years, 23 years maybe.
Half of your natural life?
Half of my natural life. I just got now to the point where I want to live and let other people live.
You want to be a citizen now and live like the rest of us do, is that?
If I didn't, I wouldn't come to the law.
What was the manslaughter deal?
That was in Nevada.
What was it? Fight?
Guy messed with my wife. I told him three times. Don't mess with my wife. Leave her alone.
Well, what resulted in that manslaughter? I mean, did you shoot him or did you fight him or what?
No, I beat his brains out against the telephone pole.
Do you think you've learned your lesson? You're going to straighten out and live the life of the average citizen?
Well, why not? Look, mister, for a publication or any place else, if I didn't think I could live and I haven't learned enough, I wouldn't come up here to the police department.
We're going to try and locate the man who attacked you, and we will endeavor to see if it's not possible to get your money back.
You intend to prosecute these men?
Definitely.
All right. You'll sign a warrant?
I will sign a warrant.
We'll have you come up here and take you over to the district attorney's office. We'll get a warrant for these fellows.
I'll be very happy to go with you.
This five-time loser, who never hurt anybody, except the man whose head he smashed, lost his newly found confidence in the police overnight. He apparently had a change of heart because he failed to appear to sign a complaint as he promised.
Unit 8 just got a call, 5300 block on Folsom Boulevard, of a man accidentally shot. Let's go out and see what it is. A little wooden shack. There are a couple of...
They haven't been getting along too well lately anyway. She's obviously been beaten up here. I don't know whether today or recently anyway, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. The other officers in there, I see there's three units out here.
Yeah, she's being questioned by the detectives now.
Okay, we'll go and hear it. Hi, Rellis. Where's the body?
No.
They took him over to the emergency hospital. Was he still alive?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Where was he shot?
Shot in the right... They said in the right chest.
Right chest?
Yeah.
Is this the wife in here?
Yes, this is the wife, yeah. She's going back in here.
He was on the bed here at the time?
When we got here, he was on the bed.
And that's the gun he used?
Yeah, 22 automatic.
Well, how'd he fire it?
Well, she said he fired it, but... I don't know.
You know?
He stated he fired the gun himself.
He shot him through the right chest.
Shot himself through the right chest, yeah.
The policeman's gonna take me to jail, Mother. Oh, they don't believe me. They're taking pictures all around. They're gonna take me pretty soon. I know it. Yes, ma'am. I'm not crying. Okay. She wants to talk to someone.
Okay, Rellis.
Who's this here?
My mother.
Hello. Well, we contact the hospital and... His condition appears all right at the present. We're going... Well, we'd rather not do that. We want to talk to him ourselves first. See what... we're going to check on his condition. That's true. But we have a couple of uniformed men taking her down to the station right now. Well, we don't know what for yet. The man's been shot. We know that.
Thanks.
Well, we have to take her and take her down and question her after we... We'll see what he has to say about it. Yeah.
Mac Alexander, is this where he had fallen evidently off the bed over there where that pool is?
Not according to her statement. She said that she was in the other room. He was in this room.
In this bedroom?
This bedroom.
Yeah, no doubt.
The door between the two were closed when she heard the shot. She came in, saw him sitting here on this, would be the left side of the bed, with the rifle beside him. In our investigation, we find an ejected cartridge in the same room with her.
In her room?
In her room.
Apart from this room here?
Apart from this room, and she states the door was closed.
When
she heard the shot.
That doesn't sound right, does it? How did you get your bruises and black eyes, lady?
She told us that they fight continually. Apparently, we find spilled stewed tomatoes in the kitchen floor, grease on the floor. She walked in there a moment ago and fell flat from the grease, broken glass here in the hallway.
They don't know how to lock the door, Mama.
Well, what are you going to do now? You want to take her down?
We're going to take her down with us.
And check the victim, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go down with you.
I'm going to talk to your Mama.
Tell her we're going to be very busy. We want to go down to the...
They're very busy. I don't want to talk to you. Bye now.
This is the detective division. Mr. Rausch of the district attorney's office just arrived, so he, along with detectives Mac Alexander and Rellis, are about to question the wife.
I understand that about 11:27, you put in a call. Is that correct for police?
My mother did.
Your mother?
I called my mother and she called you.
And she called. Mm-hmm. What did you report to your mother at that time?
I told her that Red was shot.
Did you tell her how?
And I said he was bleeding all over the bed.
Did you tell her how he got shot?
No. I just said he was shot.
How long after your husband was shot did you call your mother?
Right then, as soon as I went in there when he hollered for me. I don't know when he shot himself.
Just what occurred at your home this evening and about what time in regard to this shooting?
Nothing. We just had an argument. And I went in to the bed, to the other bedroom.
What was the argument about?
Because I wouldn't fix his supper.
How long did the argument continue?
Not very long, because I got mad and slammed the door.
And then what happened?
I went to bed.
Did he go to bed?
I suppose so.
Did you go to sleep?
Yes, sir. I get dozed off, I guess. But he turned off the television.
Then what occurred next?
He came in and kissed me goodnight. And I told him to get out.
Then what happened?
He went and closed the door, I thought. I've been saying all the time that the door was closed. I don't know if it was closed or not, but I think it was closed. Mm-hmm. I'm so befuddled, I don't know nothing.
What was the next incident that happened that you recall?
I heard him hollering for me.
What did he
help him?
What did he holler?
He said, "Come and help me."
And did you?
Yes, sir. I jumped up and turned on the light. See, I didn't turn on my bedroom light. I turn on his, because it's right there by the door as I pass his bed.
And what did you say when you turned the light on?
Blood all over him. And it scared me.
Where was the blood?
All over him.
What else did you notice?
Nothing until he told me to call the doctor, and I called Mother because I didn't know what to do.
Did you see a gun in the room at that time?
It was on the floor, and I picked it up.
Did you hear a shot at any time?
No, sir.
You did not?
No, sir.
Did you at any time pull the gun from his grasp? Did he at any time have the gun in his hands while you were in the room?
No, sir.
Did you ever touch that gun?
Yes, sir.
I mean, after you noticed it in the room near your husband?
Sure, I picked it up and put it in the corner.
Oh, you picked it up and put it in the corner?
Mm-hmm.
Did you attempt to eject any shells from the gun or pull on the trigger of that gun?
No, sir.
What type of gun was it?
No, it's Mother's 22 automatic, I think.
Where is that gun usually kept?
In the closet. I've been trying to learn how to use it.
Is the gun kept loaded?
Yes, sir. I'm expecting trouble.
What kind of trouble are you expecting?
John's going to come on and beat me some more, and when he does, I'm going to kill him.
Who's that?
My second husband.
Your second husband?
Yes, sir.
Did you see your husband take the gun from that room?
No, sir.
Last night?
No, sir.
Did you know he had it in his room?
No, sir.
A spent cartridge case was found in your bedroom. Now, can you explain how that cartridge... In other words, that would indicate that the gun was fired in your bedroom and not in your husband's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
I don't know.
Okay, then can you give me any explanation why that cartridge casing is in the middle of your bedroom?
No, sir, I sure can't.
The victim may be able to talk now. We'll go out to the hospital and get his version.
He's in pretty bad shape right now. We think he probably had some of his lung collapse. And now we're trying to get him upstairs so we can get a picture and get a surgeon tonight.
We'd like to talk to him if we can. Can you tell us what happened over there?
I just fell arguing with my wife and grabbed the gun and I just pulled off too fast.
Why did you shoot yourself?
Huh? Well, I was trying to get the gun. She had the gun, you see. and I grabbed it. I got the gun.
You say she had the gun in her hand?
Well, she started to get the gun, and I grabbed it, see? And then she grabbed it, and I up and shot.
Why would she get the gun?
We just arguing.
Did she threaten to shoot you? Or?
No, she never threatened. That's trouble if I can't figure it out.
Why did she pick up the gun, then?
I had the gun there, just in the corner, see? And she reached for it, I grabbed it. She never threatened me or nothing.
Were you wrestling over the gun when it went off?
Yes.
But it's pointed towards you.
Yes, sir.
And then she had to hold the other end of
yes,
it?
Yes, sir.
Did she say why? I mean, did she give you indication that she wanted to shoot you?
No, she didn't.
What was the argument about?
Well, first one thing, then another. I was drinking pretty heavy.
She had to hold the butt end of the gun then,
yeah.
Huh? Did she have her finger on the trigger?
Well, I don't know. I don't know at the time.
Well, you didn't have yours on the trigger, did you?
No. But that's all right. It's safety. All right. Shoot.
Was the gun loaded? Who loaded the gun?
Well, I always kept it loaded.
You always kept it loaded in the house?
Yes, sir.
Any reason for that?
Well, yes. Our ex-husband. He just threatened both of us before.
Where did this argument take place?
In my house there.
Well, I mean, what part of the house was it?
In my bedroom.
In your bedroom?
Yeah.
Is that where the shot was fired
in
the bedroom?
Yes,
that's the first room you enter when you come into the house.
Yes, in the side.
Doctor, where are you taking him now?
We're taking him up the x-ray.
The sheriff, we want that sheriff.
What about this now, Rellis?
Well, we'll have a temporary charge, a holding charge of assault with a deadly weapon on her.
You're going to take her down?
Yes, we're going to book her.
There were a few unexplained circumstances involved in this shooting. The stories of the man and woman varied in several respects. About the only points in which they agreed was that there had been an argument and he had been shot. Inasmuch as the victim insisted he was shot in a struggle over the gun and that his wife had made no threats, she was released without charge. The wound was not fatal.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908 coming in. End of tour.
Check 99, KMA 907.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.